Good to see everyone out this morning. The elders' talks this month have focused on the different stages in the life of a Christian from their new birth. And I've been assigned the topic, Faithful Unto Death. And I believe this title is really obviously taken from a statement that was made in the letter to the church at Smyrna in the book of Revelation. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. In the context of the book of Revelation, that statement is made concerning undergoing persecution, and being faithful in spite of the persecution, even to the point of dying necessary for Christ, and the reward would be there for the Christian. The exhortation, though, to be faithful unto death, I think, is appropriately applied to our theme this month, because as Christians, as we go through the various stages of our lives, when we get into the stage where we are senior citizens, when we are older, the challenge is still there that we remain faithful during the latter years of our life. I really believe in terms of addressing what is necessary in the lives of mature Christians, of older Christians, that the passage that I had Jonathan read, Titus 2, 1-5, as well as some others, provide much more insight as to what that means in a practical way than simply referring to the exhortation that is given to the church at Smyrna. I think one really appropriate look at this responsibility and the outlook that those who are older need to have in their life as Christians comes from the Apostle Paul, and I'm fully aware that we've been studying sermons from the book of Philippians for a long time now, so this will be we're going back to a passage that we studied not that long ago. But you know, younger people can have great difficulty imagining the thought of death ever being a welcome thing that people would anticipate. However, as people age, there are many factors that might change their perspective. One is just the process of aging itself, and the things that happen to us as we get older. I told my wife this last night, and it is really, to me, somewhat humorous. She always cuts our grass. That's part of the deal moving out of the condominium. She wanted a yard. She wanted flowers. She wanted to take care of the yard. So I said, that's fine. And she's always been primarily the one to take care of the yard. And so she's been gone a week. And I said to myself, you know, if she comes home and then has to cut the grass, she won't feel like going to dinner. She'll just be wasted. So I got in for my normal Saturday morning golf game, and I went out and cut the grass. By the time that we got home, I didn't feel like going out to dinner. I couldn't concentrate. I was wiped out. Older than I used to be. I didn't realize how bad that was. That type of thing. And so you have the aches and the pains. I heard Brother Bowman say one time that one of the great things about getting older was your vocabulary improved. One of the bad things about that is that they were all medical terms. And, you know, so you get older and you start feeling the effects of that. And as you get more advanced in age, the more that becomes. And then actual illness may set in, not just the aches and the pains. People lose their mates. They become lonely, not because just they've lost their mates. I have two parents in this situation. They are the last survivors of their siblings, and they don't have a single friend of their contemporary, even in the church, that's still alive. And you have that sense of loneliness. You miss your friends. You miss your brethren. The frustration with the inability to do some things that are meaningful, a sense of uselessness. And, you know, to a lot of the people in this audience, I'm a senior citizen, but when you're 68 and both your parents are still alive, you're still considered and treated like a child. And some of you have had that experience too. And it is disconcerting as a child to hear your parents talk about dying in the way in which they're looking forward to it. They're ready for it. And as younger people, we have trouble appreciating that. The younger you are, I'm sure the more trouble you have appreciating that. There's so much more to do. But the Apostle Paul, in the Philippians chapter 1, said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed in both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy and faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Now Paul, because he was a relatively young man the way we look at it now, in his early 60s probably wrote this. But you know, he had spent himself in the service of the Lord. He had gone through a lot of things that most of us never go through physically in order to fulfill his ministry. And he had reached this point where he was worn out physically. And he said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go." But he said, "If it's God's will that I continue to live, then I am going to make that life a life of service to God." And there, I think, is the approach to life that all of us as Christians, as we get older, should have. That to the extent that I am able, as I continue to live, I am going to serve God. Now, I believe that why that is hard and maybe not as appreciated in the church as it might have been is because of our own unique culture. I call it a cultural problem of being a Christian in a 21st century first world nation, a developed nation. For several generations, people in our country, including us as Christians, have been forced to deal with a phenomenon unknown to prior generations and unknown in many parts of the world today, and that is the anticipation of retirement. In fact, I think it's very interesting how invasive that is. In my current job, one of the things I do sometimes is participate in job interviews. And it's really interesting to be sitting in an interview room with someone in their 20s anticipating taking a job, and one of their questions is about retirement benefits. And I believe our culture has caused us to think this way. I'm working now so that I don't have to work later. But you know, this is a relatively modern concept. The Industrial Revolution, depending upon which historian you want to look to, is at the most 4 centuries old and probably less than that, 3. And the concept of workers' rights and social reform dates to the late 19th century at the earliest. And most of the things that have happened, such as Social Security and those kinds of concepts, are just barely a century old. And so it's a pretty modern concept. It's also not a universal concept. Quite frankly, in many parts of the world today, and the way it used to be all the time for all peoples, is you better keep working or you're going to die of starvation. Could you imagine a 19th century American farmer reaching the age of 65 and saying, "I'm not going to plant my fields this year, I'm retired"? Well, if they had done that, they wouldn't have had any food to eat, or to feed to, or any grain to feed to their livestock, which they would then turn around and eat, or that they would sell for the necessities of life. Yet, in our experience, most people do retire. We've got a lot of, at least a number of retirees in the audience here this morning. And you know, some retire more comfortably than others. But with the advent of the things that have happened in our society and our culture, and among us, most people would think of retirement. I once worked with a person who has now since retired. That if you walked in and said how long, he would give you the number of years, days, hours, and minutes nearly to the day he was walking out the door. And that's what we think about. Well, the problem with that is that spiritual retirement is not a biblical concept. But unfortunately, many members of the church have transferred the concept of retirement to their concept and blended it with their concept of discipleship. And I want to be very clear about this. As I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, as we get older, there are changes to our physical and our mental condition. We may not have the stamina we used to. We may start having some infirmities. And some of those things can serve to limit or even ultimately eliminate our ability to serve. And that's not what I'm talking about right now. What I'm talking about right now is a person who is relatively healthy. They've reached that age where they're retiring or they're thinking about retiring. They still have the energy to pursue their hobbies, or maybe they've been waiting until retirement to want to travel and all that. But when you look at the various things they used to do, well, I don't teach classes anymore. I'm retired. I don't do this anymore. I'm retired. I did my share when I was younger. That concept of spiritual retirement is not found anywhere in the Bible. The concept that you find in the Bible is what we just looked at with the Apostle Paul. I'm going to serve as long as the Lord allows me to have the life and the energy. And that's the attitude that all of us as Christians, as we get older, should adopt. In fact, we might look at retirement as an opportunity to serve more. Now that I'm free from the requirements of a secular job, what are the more things I can do for the Lord rather than the less things, fewer things I can do for the Lord? And so that brings us, as our time is about up, to the responsibility of older Christians. And I had John read Titus 2, 1 through 5, because I think that's at least one place where that is very clearly stated. And so Paul tells Titus here, you teach older men that they have some spiritual responsibility. We can't talk about this in great detail this morning, but it's summed up, I think, in four categories. He says, you tell them they need to demonstrate to the younger men Christian maturity. That is, the things that are learned through a lifetime of serving the Lord. Such things as temperance and sensibility, having self-control and being able to make good and wise decisions. That they demonstrate soundness in doctrine. They should be the spiritual leaders. They should be the ones that, through years of study and application, can make sure the teaching that is being done in the local church is sound. They should be examples of love. They should be showing the entire congregation, really, but particularly younger men who need that example, you know, particularly in the church. At every place I've ever been, probably West Carrollton is the one that is least this way of the churches that I've preached at, but it's still here. But you know, and I've been here longer than anywhere. But most of the congregations that I know, because of the natural fact that men have a shorter lifespan, so women are widowed, but there's also the fact that a lot of men do not consider religion and faithfulness to God the thing that appeals to them. Congregations have a lot more, generally, older women than they do older men. And there's a lot of young men who are raised with out fathers that are godly. And so the idea of the older men demonstrating to them the kind of things that maybe people in the world don't consider manly at all, which is to be loving and caring in relationships and concerned about the needs of others and all of those kind of things. He says, you older men need to learn that is one of your responsibilities. And then the idea of demonstrating what is steadfast, because you have persevered in your life, and even as an older man, you are now still a faithful Christian. Paul tells Titus, you teach men in the church that this is what their old age should look like. This is who they should be and what they are doing as older Christians. And then he addresses the older women. He says, now Titus, you teach the older women that they need to demonstrate reverence in their behavior. They need to demonstrate the proper demeanor of what it means to be a Christian. And that includes their way of life. And he gets very specific here. He says, teach them they shouldn't be running around gossiping all the time. Teach them that they should not in idleness become abusers of alcohol. And in our modern world, there's probably many other substances that you could add to the list of wine that Paul has in that. You probably had your mother at some time tell you when you were just hanging out that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Well, that doesn't stop when you're young. Yeah, it's not just young people that get in trouble when they're not busy doing what they ought to be doing. And so Paul tells Titus, you warn the older women that have, because of their age, been freed of the direct responsibility of their taking care of their own children and things like that, to make really wise use of their time and to demonstrate the right way that a Christian woman should live. And then he says, you give them this concept of what the mission of a mature Christian woman is. That they are to be teachers. They are to be teachers. Not, they are to be examples, but they are also to be teachers. They are to actively engage in teaching, particularly the younger women, what they know about living the Christian life. So our time is gone here, and so what I would say as we look at this responsibility, as the responsibilities, or this topic of responsibility of older, more mature Christians, that my observation would be that we've been blessed throughout our Christian life with men and women who have set this example. I've seen people do this, and that each and every one of us needs to realize that will be our responsibility when we reach that stage. We're there now. We should be very serious about being the kind of mature Christian men and women that we ought to be. If you're not there now, if you're young, understand that's what your future should look like. That's one of the goals that you should have, not just the material goals of a good job and all those kind of things that people in the world think about all the time. But that you should be setting your sights now on enjoying the life that you have now. We talked about being a younger Christian earlier. But you should set your sights on the fact that the older I get, the more valuable I want to be in the service of the Lord. I believe that Miles has the closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our Bible.